Welcome, friends. It's time to get your cacao ready and settle in as we join for another episode of Megan Hopper Presents The Cacao Crowd, where we'll connect to heal, empower, and learn to love ourselves a little more each day. Hello, everyone. I warn you, I'm starting this really energized and really amped up, so I have no idea where it's going to go from here. And yeah, it'll be a fun adventure. It feels super close today, so I'm just going to go with, we're all going to get really close today. I don't know. It'll be fun. Last week, we talked about the physical side of anger, where it sits in our body, how to help the physical discomforts of it. And before we jump into the emotional, energetic side of it, where we're going to look at some things outside of you that can seemingly cause it, contribute it to it, in short, make you feel pissed off, annoyed, and like everything sucks. So let's start with work. Everyone needs a job, right? So in order to be an acceptable member, like I said, very amped up today, an acceptable member of society, you need a stable place to live. You need a phone. You need internet. You need groceries. Maybe you have a pet. You probably have a car or at least a way to get around. There's costs. And to cover the cost of being an acceptable member of society, you get a job. So sure, there's some jobs that are a little more flexible, but for most of us, that means you're working for someone else for an agreed upon amount of money, regardless of what that company or that person gets at the end of the day. You have a fixed income. And maybe you're hourly, so you can work a few more hours, you can make a little more that way, but then you break it down to you have a fixed amount of money you can make each hour. So if that's the case, why are we still looking at this as the best way to make a living for ourselves? Why do we work to live? Why do we say we'll pay our dues and it'll be better? You know, what does that do to our well-being, to our immunity, to our mental and physical health? It does a lot. I mean, the very simple answer is a lot. It takes a massive toll, and we're going to get into all of that, but you know, as well as I do, as well as my producer, Brian, who's kind of looking at me funny because I'm doing crazy things today, we all know, first we do our meditative moment, and today what we're going to do is an exercise that gets all of that pent-up anger, that anxiety, that crazy chaos energy to the surface so that we can release it. So the exercise we're going to do comes from Kundalini Yoga. And if you are familiar with Kundalini Yoga, you know the shoulder shrugs. So what we're going to do is squeeze our shoulders all the way up by our ears and drop them down. And on the squeeze up, you're going to inhale through your nose. Again, as always, when we're doing anything with breathing, it's diaphragmatic. So taking your pointer finger on next to your belly button, and feeling that inhale in your belly feeling the expansion of your belly on the inhale, feeling the your belly coming back on the exhale, pulling back towards your spine. So it's a few things to think about, but we're going to do that for exactly 1 minute. So I am going to use the timer that is on my phone, just to make sure that we are doing this for the appropriate amount of time. If you're really tense, do it for 3 minutes. If you really want to challenge yourself and you've been doing it for 3 minutes for like a week, try 11. See what happens. There's different timing in the Kundalini science that tells you what impacts it will have on your body doing things for different amounts of time. I don't remember if I've done an episode on that. I'll have to go back and look at the show notes, but if I have not, and that's something that you guys would be interested in, the science of all of that, let me know and I can do one. Anyway, so our meditative moment, again, raising those shoulders on the inhale and dropping them down on the exhale. We're going to do that for a full minute, all through your nose with the breathing. And then once we get to the end of that minute, we're going to hold it at the top and hold our breath. So inhaling. And you can open or close your eyes. It's up to you. Looking towards that third eye, that brow center. You've got about 30 seconds left. Keep going, really lifting those shoulders all the way up to your ears. And dropping them forcefully, making both of those movements really count. Ten seconds. And hold at the top. Hold it a little bit longer than you think you can. Squeezing your whole body. And exhale through your mouth. Let it go. And you may want to shake out. You may feel things crack. Yeah. So that's a fun and easy one to get things moving, especially, like I said, when you're a little amped, when you've got some extra energy, when you're just mad at the world. You'll notice the more tense you get, the more angry you get, generally the higher your shoulders get. So by doing that, you're kind of saying to your shoulders, okay, go ahead, get as high as you can. And then letting it all go to where they're relaxed, where they're back to where they should be. So, like I said, a good one to do. Ooh, I have cat fur on my mic. I told you guys, it's one of those days I'm easily distracted. But coincidentally, it goes into our fun fact for today. My producer, Brian, is in the booth right now looking around as though he were my cat trying to find the laser pointer. But like I said, this goes into our fun fact for today because our fun fact is about cats and their purr. And a cat's purr, the resonance of it can actually heal you. So aside from cats being fun and amazingly soft and cuddly and crazy and yes, pulling a squirrel, just like I just did. They're actually natural healers, and their purr has been proven to speed up the healing of injuries and heart conditions. There's also multiple studies showing that they've repeatedly licked or pawed at their owners where there was a major health condition like a tumor or appendicitis. So if you have a cat and they keep going to the same specific area in your body and it seems weird, go get it checked. Or just let them lay on it and purr, but also go get it checked. Okay, fun fact. Sorry, I needed a sip of my tea in my very cute cup. It's got a little bird on it. So, sorry, that was loud. I'm sure we've all seen it in a show, movie, something, where somebody literally says, work hard, play hard. And let's just start there. If you're working at your max and you're playing at your max, when are you resting? Don't tell me I'll rest when I'm dead. That's going to make you die faster. So it's kind of like the principle of you have so many breaths in your system. Guys, seriously. This is a problem today. I need to calm down. But it's okay. We're in this together. You have so many breaths in your system. And it's a kind of proverb that you only have those amount of breaths. When you get amped up, you breathe faster. And when you rest, you breathe slower. So by combining those two things, you're elongating your life. So kind of the same principle, work hard, play hard. You're always going hard. You're never resting. You're never giving yourself that chance to kind of recoup, recollect. So when you're stopping to listen to what you and what your body need, never. You're literally telling yourself, your needs don't matter. What you need is irrelevant to how I want to be perceived. Think about that. If a friend told you they were in a relationship with someone, and their partner told them, I don't care what you want or need. I need everyone else to think that we're happy. So suck it up and smile. How would that make you feel? You'd maybe say that was unhealthy, yeah? Possibly even abusive. Yet so many people accept that in their relationships with themselves. It's not just in terms of their job, but since that's a common situation that people can relate to, it's easy to use that as a starting point. So think of everything you do and whether you're listening to yourself and what you want or need or what somebody told you you're supposed to accept. And sticking with the topic that we're covering today, we'll get back to the topic of daily life and the job. But work hard, play hard means always go. That's how we get to the point of burnout. If you're under constant stress, which is that state of always on, always caffeinating, always taking something to maintain this certain way of being, the hypothalamus, it's a tiny region at the base of your brain, triggers an alarm that stays on and causes that fight or flight system to always be active, triggering everything that comes with adrenal fatigue. And we've done some other episodes on adrenal fatigue. There's some videos on my YouTube as well. Feel free to go check those out. But suffice to say, it's not a healthy state to consistently be in. Your body's always feeling like it needs to just stay alive. Another common phrase is, I just have to pay my dues. People think if they put in 80-hour work weeks and always say yes to extra assignments, they'll get the promotions and then they can chill. Sure, sometimes that gets you the promotion, but once you show you're willing to work 80 hours for 40 hours of pay, you're not going to get 80 hours of pay. So you're not going to get that chillin' after. And a lot of caveat, there are some companies that see things and will put the people first and really truly try to do what's best for each individual. Absolutely, they do exist. But look at it this way. If you're a business owner and you need to keep making money to keep expanding, to keep making more money to keep expanding, and you're telling yourself, once I get big enough, I can hire on more people and I can pay them more, but I need to just keep getting bigger first. There are certain companies out there like that. Are you going to pay somebody just enough to keep them doing what they're doing and use the extra to bring on more people so that you can grow quicker? Or are you going to pay each person every bit that they're worth because you value them as a person? So what are we really doing to ourselves, to our bodies, to our existence when we're pulling all-nighters, when we keep going into jobs that make us want to scream? And I hear it all the time. Work is stressing me out. The number one thing stress does to our body is lower our immune system. So think of that for a minute, especially when you're thinking of, you know, all the things that are most common in the news today, in the world that we live in today, where your immune system is one of the most important factors of existing in your daily life. The phrase I'm sick of could not be more true. We use the phrase I'm sick of to describe things that stress us out, that we're exacerbated by. You know, I'm sick of feeling bad. I'm sick of this person. I'm sick of traffic. I'm sick of whatever. And that's literally what it's doing, making us sick. High levels of stress age you prematurely. They can promote or worsen diabetes. They can create heart issues. They affect your metabolism. And then on top of that, the coffee, sugar, junk food that you're taking to counteract that, that you're using to cope, creates this perfect recipe for disaster. So AARP, and I know I'm the first one that says, makes fun of people when they're eligible for AARP. I made that a whole big thing with my parents. Oh, you have AARP cards now. So it's not just an old people thing. They do a lot of relevant studies. But AARP did a study in 2012 where they interviewed 276 healthy adults about stressful events in their lives and then exposed them to a cold virus. Those who were experiencing chronic stress, like hazardous work conditions, not giving themselves a chance to rest, feeling like they always had to be on, suffering from adrenal fatigue, things like that. They were all cortisol resistant, meaning they didn't have the correct anti-inflammatory response in their body, and they were more likely to get sick. Sheldon Cohen, a professor of psychology at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, who was part of this study for AARP, said the immune system's ability to regulate inflammation predicts who will develop a cold. But more importantly, it provides an explanation of how stress can promote disease. When under continuous stress, cells of the immune system are unable to respond properly and consequently produce levels of inflammation that lead to disease. So here we have, you know, someone that people would say is a brilliant scientific mind, flat out telling us stress can make you sick. Coincidentally, that same study looked at the top stressors, with the top two overwhelmingly being money and health. As we've explored in this episode, the main common source of money may be the biggest impact to your health, linking the two exponentially. So how do you change that? You can change your job, change the amount of money that you're making, change the happiness in your job. Part of it may be as simple as finding one thing each day that makes you happy about your job. Do you like the people you work with? Do you feel like you make a difference in people's lives? Are you good at what you do? Cool. If you can focus on those things to give you that level of fulfillment, you may notice more opportunities just falling into place. Part of that is fulfilling Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if you go look that up. If you need advice on how to get to that, link to me on Facebook and I'll point you in the direction of that whole hierarchical study that they did. But part of it is law of attraction. You attract what you are. You attract what you put out into the world. So if you have a lack mindset, you're going to get lack back. If you think, I'm not making enough, you'll never make enough. If you have a fulfilled mindset, you'll always be fulfilled. So if you're living in fulfillment, you're living in gratitude, that's what's going to be reflected back at you. Goes back to that mirror principle of you can't look at a mirror and expect it to smile first. On the other hand, maybe it is totally just time to look at the job market. When you first started working and got into the workforce, maybe it was when you went to college, maybe you didn't go to college and you just got into a job. But did you know everything that was out there whenever it was that you started what you're doing? Probably not. I mean, I was having this conversation with my mom the other day. I was 18. I grew up in a town with more cows than people. Sure, we went to, you know, New York City a lot because that's what I grew up near. So I had exposure to a decent amount of things. My parents were really good at making sure that we got to go on trips, that we got to check out different, you know, cool things that I wouldn't necessarily have had the opportunity to. We went to water parks, we went to zoos, we went to museums. So I did get that exposure, and she made sure that we had tons of books to read all the time. And I was lucky enough that my teachers saw something in me that they pushed me, which was great. But even with all of those things, I still wasn't exposed to everything. And there's definitely no way for someone to truly understand what a field is, what architecture is, without actually doing it. If you don't actually do something, if you're not actually in it, you can get a perspective of it, but you're not going to know it. So you can't be hard on yourself for wanting to explore other things, wanting to grow more. And maybe there are other opportunities out there that would fulfill you more and you could excel in those. I do help people with career services, with editing and creating their resumes and cover letters, with preparing for interviews. So definitely if you need help, reach out. But also in doing that, I've been able to see what people come to me with in terms of their resume, in terms of their education, in terms of their background, and where they want to go from there. Because inevitably, there's always skills that you've gained in something that you can use in something else and will be more fulfilling. LinkedIn and Indeed can give you great ideas of what's out there if you do want to go out into the job market. And if you kind of know where you'd like to work or have an idea of a field, but you're not quite sure what the exact fit is, the job title, you know, things like that, reach out to somebody at a different company, especially if you can find someone in HR, and see if they'd be open to an informal informational interview, just so you can learn. A lot of people love to talk about what they do all day, especially if you're buying them lunch or coffee. So asking somebody, I mean, the worst they're going to say is no. And all right, that doesn't hurt you. Move on to another person. But let it be fun. Let it come from a place of excitement and inspiration instead of this place of like desperation for a new job. Let it come from, I really am intrigued by this, because that's going to come across. And on the other hand, maybe it's just time to break away from traditional and get into your own business or do some kind of network marketing type business. Starting your own business can be super tough, especially if you don't have seed funding. And maybe you don't have the time outside of your 9-to-5 to work on it until it can take over. Maybe you have kids to take care of and your 9-to-5, and you have to have dinner on the table, and you know, you've got your hands in 20 different baskets already. Okay. There's still other options. Network marketing, like I mentioned, is just one that I'm familiar with. So that's something I can talk to. And that might be a good option if you don't have as much time. Because often with network marketing, it's talking to people on the phone, and you can throw an earbud in and talk to somebody while you're making dinner and make that hour work for you. Obviously, there's some concerns with network marketing. People think MLM structure and, you know, all of that toppling down on you and taking everybody with you. But if you wanted to look into network marketing, you look for reputable companies that give you something tangible in exchange for what you're giving them. And what you're giving them really should just be time. You want to be given the tools to more or less make your own company, but without the overhead, seed funding, and risk. So look for a product you're excited about. Again, if you're excited about something, if you're convinced that it's going to make a difference and it's going to be important in other people's lives, then you're going to be able to speak about it in a much more enthusiastic and authentic way. And very importantly, make sure you don't have to buy a certain amount of something and then turn around and sell it, because that's taking the responsibility on yourself. That's where you get into MLM and outside of network marketing. So just, you know, few red flags to look out for. I do work with a couple of network marketing companies myself. So if that's something that would interest you, feel free to check the show notes for my email and we can set up appointments to talk. But I know people that have been able to make entire switches with their lives from network marketing sources of income. So it's definitely possible. And it may just be the push you need to get out of a job you don't like. The long and short of it is, love yourself. Put yourself first. Nobody else is going to do it for you. And not doing so just creates ripple effects in a totally negative manner. As they say on the airplane, you have to put your mask on first before you can help anyone else. As always, keep an eye on my Instagram and my webpage for events and offerings. I have a few things coming up, and one very big thing that I'm working on that I'm so excited about that you guys are going to love. If there's something that you have a question about from today's show, from any of the other shows, from shows that you're going to go back and listen to and check out, always the Facebook community is available. Send me a DM on Instagram. Leave me a comment anytime our shows are live, 6:15 Pacific Thursdays. Feel free to share, subscribe, all the fun things. So much love to all of you. May you have a beautiful evening, and thank you so much for joining me.